You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and once again joined by Steve Stewart, Royals broadcaster. And Steve, we talked a little bit last week, just kind of the overall outlook for these Royals and some of the moves they've made. Kendry Morales, Alex Rios, Edison Volquez. They made another move this week that doesn't impact things on the field itself, but Ned Yost gets an extension through 2016, and we certainly know that you know, managers and players too, for that matter, like to know there's some stability in the dugout. They like to know what the long-term situation is. This is an extremely long-term situation. The extension is just 1 year through 2016, but it certainly illustrates how different Yost's situation is from even a year ago, when he was one of those guys, you know, people were labeling as a hot seat kind of manager, and that continued on into the season. He's certainly a guy who's endured a lot of criticism in his career, but certainly got the last laugh in many respects with the Royals reaching the World Series last year. So your thoughts on this extension?
Yeah, the situation you're describing, you could describe a lot of managers and coaches that way, where, you know, because I think you can always overrate the importance of a head coach or manager to some degree, because obviously you're really at the mercy of what your players do. And I mean, you know, you can ask any manager that, any head coach that, you know, it's like I'm, you know, you can only do so much when you're the manager. Having said that, as you know, Anthony, I mean, a lot of what you do is set a tone, cliche as that sounds, create an environment, and you know, well, first of all, Ned's in an enviable position for anybody listening, because everybody would love to be in the position where, well, if suddenly tomorrow you lost your job, you know, A, you'd get paid really, really well for the next 12 months, and now 24 months, and B, you know, you're probably in a position where, you know, you don't have to work if you don't want the rest of your life. So you're kind of personally, you're in a no-lose in that regard. And so, you know, he's kind of been in the catbird seat. And then the other angle you throw in there, now they didn't win the World Series, but they got to the World Series. And, you know, he accomplished something monumental, getting the Royals back to the postseason and making the run that they did. So, you know, he's in a really nice situation. His contract that he had signed a couple of years ago until today had only gone through this upcoming season. And so, you know, he and Dayton Moore and the Glass family, the ownership group, have a very good understanding, good working relationship. It was never, I sensed zero tension over this or anything like that. And that, you know, basically it got to be September and the Royals were fighting for their first playoff spot in almost 30 years. And it's, you know, people talk a little bit to the manager about his situation or Dayton about situation. And then the thought was, hey, you know, we're trying to win here. We'll worry about that after the season. And so this is not a surprise at all. I think it's good news for the team, for the players who are there, where there's still a young core that's going to be there beyond 2015. And there's a comfort level. You know, Ned's gotten criticized for a lot of reasons, whether it's, you know, being a little too National League for the American League with bunting. Although a lot of that, I think, is his own players choosing to. He has some guys that just like to bunt. And, you know, and sometimes with, you know, answers to media and things and being short with answers at times. And the biggest one, and he got this in Milwaukee, and he's gotten it at times in Kansas City, is being, quote-unquote, you know, too protective, too supportive of his players. But I think he's been vindicated in both Milwaukee and Kansas City in being so protective, so positive on those guys. I mean, I talked to Tom Haudricourt, who has covered the Brewers forever, and you know, they have kind of a famous press conference there in which Jeff Suppan, who's now with the Royals, by the way, in a coaching capacity, but Suppan wasn't the same pitcher he had been, and Ned would come out after the game and say, "Soup was great today. Soup was great today," you know, and he was just so positive. And, you know, he's sort of denying reality to everybody else watching. But, you know, when he speaks, you know, he's speaking through the media to his clubhouse.
Right.
Because he knows every one of those guys is a human being and has insecurities and wonders about his status and and you don't have a manager holding your hands when you're in the major leagues, but they see a quote and they see positive, and they might feel really bad about the way they just performed, but they see their manager publicly standing up for them, and he goes to the mat for these guys, and that's how, and especially with a young team, which Milwaukee was and the Royals have been, that's especially important. You know, he ran all those young Brewers out there every day, Ricky Weeks, on and on and on. And then when he got to the Royals, guys like Alcides Escobar, when they struggled to hit, he kept running them out there because he's like, this is the only way they're going to get better. I got to show confidence in them. And that's the best thing that in his toolkit that I've seen him do, that, you know, maybe he's among the best at this. And I talked about setting a tone for manager, but he instills confidence, in my opinion, as well as anybody in the game. And that's obviously, is, you know, what the Yogi's saying about how this game is, you know, 90% of the game is half mental or whatever the quote was. I mean, that's so much of it. So, you know, he's a player's manager. He, you know, he's not a media manager. He's a player's manager. And that has really worked, obviously, building the Brewers. And it's obviously worked building the Royals.
Yeah, I don't think you get Eric Hosmer's October or Mike Moustakas' October without that confidence that Yost has displayed in them in the past. And to your point about the media, I mean, I can say from my own experience, you know, Ned Yost is not what you'd consider media savvy in the sense that, you know, when he makes a move that gets questioned after a game, he just does not do a particularly great job of explaining it. Having said that, you know, he does have the motives behind his moves. And sometimes when you get him in a different setting, more of a one-on-one setting, his answers make a lot more sense than they do in a typical press conference setting.
I think I'm sure you noticed in the postseason, and it was one of the storylines, at least from the media side in the postseason, was, you know, when you become a major league manager, nothing, unless you were a star player who was really facing the media a lot, and Ned was not, he was a backup catcher. So in that regard, you didn't really have that much media attention. And then you're a minor league manager. You get, you know, very little media attention. Then you're a major league coach. And even the most high-profile major league coaches get, you know, very little media attention, the occasional interview. But it's not that daily grind of, you know, 20 minutes before every game 162 times and 25, 30 minutes after the game 162 times, plus add on the you know, 45 days of spring training. You know, that's hundreds of media sessions in all kinds of circumstances when you're tired and you have to get on the road and travel.
Right.
And all the stuff with that. And so, you know, that I think has been a work in progress for him as he's learned about being a major league manager. I mean, he obviously coached under Bobby Cox, who was always, you know, kind of a great role model in that regard. And he's always sort of been, you know, jealous, for lack of a better term, in how well Bobby was always able to handle everybody all the time and almost to a fault. But that has been his, you know, it's been his guiding light, Bobby Cox. And I think what I was going to say was, I think in the postseason, I think Kansas City fans and fans around the country, because you get so much more exposure nationally, of course, in a postseason run like that, I think we were all sort of pleasantly surprised and happy to have him kind of let us all in, for lack of a better term. You know, he seemed to embrace having fun. You know, this might be a once-in-a-lifetime chance. This is something you really got to have fun with. You know, he had been there as a coach many times, but, you know, most of his players and a lot of his staff had not been there, and so he kind of set the tone of, hey, this is fun. Everybody would love to be here right now. Let's not make this some deal where we're worried about every little problem and we worry about mistakes. Let's just go out there, play hard, and have the time of our lives. And they did. And perhaps that is, you know, changed him a little bit in terms of that media persona you're talking about going forward.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what it's like when you show up at spring training, if that's the Ned Yost we get, or if you reverse course and goes back to quote-unquote crusty old Ned. But, yeah, it was fascinating for me as a guy who, you know, I'm based in the AL Central City. I see the Royals, and, you know, I'm pleased to see you roll through town a few times a year, Steve. And, you know, Ned's a guy that's been hard to get to know in the past. And for me, you know, professionally and personally, it was fascinating to watch that.
this new net come out last October, and I really enjoyed I spoke with him at length one day in Baltimore during the ALCS about his famous friendships and the impact those have had on his life. Jeff Foxworthy, hunting with Jeff Foxworthy, who in his own way is a great competitor in the comedy world, and then Dale Earnhardt, of course, the late Dale,
right.
Dale Earnhardt was an unbelievable competitor on the racetrack.
Yeah.
And Ned's stories about those guys and the lessons he's learned from those guys were just terrific. There was a story I wrote, a little self-promotion here, but a story I wrote for Sports on Earth at that point where he really goes in depth about those relationships. But there's a very interesting guy beneath the. I think it was actually Foxworthy who said the crusty surface. So.
Right. Right. Well, and we were always amused and somewhat amazed because Foxworthy comes in to visit. You know, Ned's been. You know, by the way, I was going to make another point about Ned. You know, the Royals obviously had a lot of down years in there, but as you know, and those longtime baseball fans know, there was a glorious, glorious time for this franchise, really from its founding into the mid '80s and even beyond. They were a very competitive team in the early '90s. So there was a long run where this team was a successful franchise, and Ned Yost, and we've had Whitey Herzog here and Dick Houser, who's sadly died of cancer not that long after winning the World Series here, but Jim Fry, and then later on Bob Boone and Tony Pena, mm-hmm. and a lot of pretty big name managers have been here. And late last season, just before, I think the last couple of weeks of the season, Ned became the longest tenured manager in Royals history. That tells you something. I mean, part of being a manager is just surviving. I mean, if you keep your job for more than 2 or 3 years, it means you're doing something right, because if they're losing, then they get rid of you. So that in itself tells you something about the success he's had here.
Absolutely. Well, we've spoken at length about Yost, and deservedly so, and this extension is certainly deserved. But one quick thing I did want to hit on, Steve, the Ryan Madsen signing last week, that was, I believe, the Royals' only transaction last week, but an interesting one. A guy who, was one of the better relievers in baseball a few years ago, saved 32 games in 2011. We hear so often, I think at this point we kind of take Tommy John surgery for granted. There's been so many success cases, and we kind of forget about the guys who had it and didn't recover as quickly or had the setbacks. And Madsen's had nothing but setbacks the last couple of years. He's going to give it one last go here with the Royals. Any expectations? It's kind of one of those minor league deals where you just kind of hope for the best, right?
Yeah, it's you take a little gamble, and it's if it. Worst case scenario on a minor league deal, if it doesn't work out, I don't know what's in the contract, but it's either nothing or very little that you owe the guy. And they know there is upside there if healthy. I mean, he's had a lot of success in his career, big guy. And what was it? I forget the number, but he had a bunch of saves, 30 something saves 1 year. He's had ability in the past. One thing they've done well here, they're very proud of their medical team and Nick Kenny, their head athletic trainer, and the folks in their medical group, and they're very obviously and of course they had to take this into account signing Kendrys Morales and Alex Rios agreeing to re-sign Luke Hochaver, who's fresh off Tommy John surgery himself, and there's always a gamble there, and how much of a gamble is it is always the question, and we don't know that obviously, but they are very painstaking in their evaluations and doing their homework and talking to people and so forth, and sometimes you bring these guys in and the guy winds up helping you get to October, and then sometimes they don't even make your opening day squad. And sometimes, they agree to go to the minors for a while, and then as they play themselves back into form a little bit, you have a need, you bring them up, and then they provide a boost for you, whether it's short-term or long-term through the whole season. So it's, the way I look at it is, I haven't seen him pitch forever, like most people listening right now, but or haven't seen, why not? If he feels like he can pitch, and there's probably a relationship there, Mike Arbuckle, who's a longtime executive for the Phillies, and he was a big part of their organization as they built up to their world championship and put together that core that now has kind of been broken up or is being broken up because the guys are, you know, beyond their prime in many cases in their franchise in rebuilding mode. But he was there as they were building all that for many years, and so he would obviously have a relationship with Ryan Madsen and know him well. And so that, you know, so they, you know, I just think it's a no-lose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, the Royals have kind of been the reverse of the Tigers in that sense. This offseason, the Tigers, of course, had that awful bullpen last year that really held them back, especially in the postseason. They've done very little to address that, I think. And then the Royals, on the other hand, had this dominant bullpen that they carried them through October, and they've been very proactive about ensuring that remains a strength. So only the season will decide, you know, how the moves and non-moves play out. But that's been one interesting dynamic for me here this hot stove season. But I want to thank Steve Stewart for joining us once again, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.